Isaiah 65, three verses this morning, starting with verse 8. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for there is benefit in it, so I will act on behalf of my servants, in order not to destroy all of them. And I will bring forth offspring from Jacob, and an heir of my mountains from Judah. Even my chosen ones shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a pasture land for flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me. During our time of prayer, which has been happening more and more of late, God's been giving me visions. And while some were praying for a prayer of release of giftings and anointing, I received a very short vision of a hand, which I recognized was God's hand, squeezing what I understood to be fruit. And to my surprise, what was coming out was just clear liquid. Two things of note. The pressure on a person's life, or the fruit, or the gifting, which is what that was representative of, and the clear, clean liquid flowing from that pressure to produce purity and purpose at God's direction. So as the Father uses or applies pressure to your life, it's to produce or release a desired result. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work, both to will and to work, so that you feel good about yourself. No. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure, and I would add, his purposes. That's the sense of the rendering of that verse. J.B. Phillips' rendering says, for it is God who is within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purpose. So, there's always a struggle or a process going on within us. What we want, what we think God wants, and what God really wants, which are often not the same thing. Right? Have you experienced that? You think this is what's best, but then you find out as you submit those things to him, you find out that he has something else in mind. And this is particularly hard sometimes when we're under pressure or we're experiencing testings or trials. Because what happens? Your judgment, your perspective gets clouded. And unless you're crying out to him, you may be tempted to rebuke the enemy when really what's going on is God is bringing to bear that pressure in your life. God is bringing about those things and those people in your life to accomplish his desired purpose. And what is that purpose? according to 2 Corinthians 3:18, it's being transformed into the same image, referring to Christ, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord or the Spirit. You know, God allows things to happen. The enemy can only do what God allows. You understand that? He doesn't have the freedom to do whatever he feels like doing in your life. But at times, God allows those things, and we don't recognize them right away often, and we want to fight. We want to say, well, this is the devil. We're going to come against the devil. We're not standing for this. When we can actually be found in the position of fighting against the Lord, because he's trying to root out those things in our life and replace them with the character of Jesus Christ. So, I would entitle this morning's message, Pressure for Purity, or Being Formed for Service. Being formed for his service. A few things to look at, namely five. Yeah, I know it's hard to believe, but number one, Father, your Father and mine, releases new wine in relationship, from relationship. Verse 8. It says the new wine is found in the cluster. So the potential for wine in your life, or even for you and I to be new wine, is found in the cluster. Now, the definition of a cluster is a number of similar things growing together. So do you understand? Sometimes you think you're perfect, but you ask your friends or your spouse, and if they're honest with you, they'll tell you, oh no, you're not. And why is that? Because we're always growing together or simultaneously at the same time. Yes, we're growing together as a body of believers, that too. But what that definition draws out is the fact that there's always room for growth in my life and in your life. When you stop growing, you're dead. You become stagnant. So, similar things growing together, or things or persons grouped closely together. So the release of the new wine depends on your response to the cluster as a whole and to those within that cluster. So, positionally, you don't rub shoulders, or you're not involved in everyone's life in this cluster that we call Freedom Worship Center. And so for everyone here, there's certain members or persons that are growing together within that cluster that you uniquely relate to. And that group is not the same for every one of you. And so your response to those that God has ordained for you to rub with, That's what releases the new wine. You know the smell of something fresh and alive that's being released. You know, we had our granddaughter sleep over, and there's a host of challenges associated with that when you have a 3-year-old in the house. But there's also a lot of joy in it. So yesterday I'm amazed that sometimes flavored water has such a fragrance to it. If you look at the ingredients, you're like, it tastes like something, and it smells like something. So I was playing with her, and she says, I smell strawberries. And it was simply the fact that I had taken a few swigs of that flavored water. But the point is, when we're drinking the new wine, those around us are going to smell it. They're going to actually be impacted by it in some way. But that's related to the cluster. It's related to how we choose to relate to one another. And yes, to the body as a whole, but to certain ones in particular that you rub with. Because when those grapes rub together, that's when the juice starts to flow. And it could be sour grapes. Right? Or it could be sweet. It depends on the choices we make. So, relationship is for your benefit. You can't become all the Father intends for you to be without being involved in relationship first with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but then secondly with those in the cluster. It's very important. And again, you can only effectively be involved in so many in the cluster. But you can maximize what you get out of those relationships. And you can determine what kind of wine gets released. Because it says here, do not destroy it, for there's benefit. Sometimes your assessment of something, if you look at things in the natural, is not totally accurate. Right? You feel this way, you think this way, but then when you invite the Holy Spirit into the cluster, he says, no, this is what's really going on. I'm trying to do, before I can release some of that new wine in through you, there's work that needs to be done. There's squeezing. There's pressure that needs to come to bear to squeeze out those things that don't glorify him and replace them with those that do glorify him, that fragrance or that aroma of Christ that the scripture talks about in Corinthians. So, relationship is for our benefit. Deuteronomy 11:14, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. So, what is representative in that passage is the land is your life, is your walk with the Lord. And he provides you with the early rain, when you need to get established, when you need to get grounded, when you need to get things straight and right, he helps you. He provides the rain to help you to grow. But then he also provides the late rain. What's the late rain for? It's when the harvest needs to come forth. If the crop has been growing according to the plan, if we've been responding to the dealings of God in a righteous and godly way, there's going to be a harvest. There's going to be a release of the new wine. And so before that, we need that rain. Just like in the natural, the crop needs, if the crop's been growing all season and then the last 4 weeks before the harvest there's no rain, what's going to happen to the harvest? It's going to go right down the tube. And there's going to be very poor quality. Even if there is a harvest, things are going to be shriveled, they're going to be misshapen, they're going to be tainted. And so God makes sure that that rain is there for you. But notice in this scripture it says, you gather the grain. You gather the new wine. And you gather the oil. So this is us partnering with the Holy Spirit and responding to the dealings, the testings that he allows in our life, which are all designed for what? To bring a harvest, to bring a release of new wine that will glorify him, that will impact and affect those in the cluster, those around you, those that you have in your life. So when we speak or relate to one another in love, he put the ones that he puts in your life, in your cluster, you will realize and reap ministry and anointing. That's where the anointing comes from, properly responding first in relationship to him, and secondly, in relationship to those he sends you to minister to. Without the anointing, you and I are totally wasting our time. Whether it's preaching his word or going to speak to or minister to someone, it'll only be an act of the flesh. With no anointing, unless it's done in service to him and in submission to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:15. Has anybody ever said to you, grow up at some point in your life? Well, the scripture talks about that here in Ephesians. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Grow up what? Into all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. That's the test. As they say, the acid test, if you are really growing up, if you're really responding to the dealings of God in your life. How do you respond when no one else is around? Are you grumbling? Are you complaining? Are you yelling at God? I know you wouldn't think of doing those things. Right. We all have our moments, don't we? But if we take a look at our behavior, it'll tell you It'll be a barometer to tell you where you are and how you are responding to the cluster. What's really happening? What kind of relationship you really have with him? And how are you implementing that, speaking the truth in love? Because we need to partner with the Lord in relationships, first with him and then with others, if we're going to experience God's best. That's the only way it's going to happen. Secondly, also in verse 8, second point, Father initiates relationship or initiates action. He says there, I will act on behalf of my servants. The one serving in relationship with him. Now, ultimately, my servants refers to the remnant, those that are going to be sold out for Christ, that aren't just calling themselves Christian, but they're backing it up in the way they walk out their salvation, in the way they live for him. That's what it means, and it's not in there. When Paul says, my life is not my own, I've been bought with a price, a very high price, the blood of Jesus Christ. So my servants refers to the group chosen by him and dedicated and serving in relationship with him. Now, one of the possible meanings of the translation of I will act on behalf of my servants, one of the uses that I found was to squeeze or press. And the concept is found in Genesis 40:11, though it's not the same word here where it says, Father will act on behalf of my servants. This is when Joseph was in prison interpreting the dreams, and the baker comes and the cupbearer comes. And so the cupbearer comes and he interprets this. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and I squeezed them into the cup. And I put the cup into the hands of Pharaoh. So relating this to the vision I received of the squeezing, when God squeezes that and the juice flows and that clear juice comes out, if we have a right heart attitude, our response is to present the cup to the king, to present the results of us going through that trial or that testing. When he applies that pressure and something gets squeezed out, for his glory. So we present that cup of clear liquid, which would represent the anointing, to him and for his service, and serve at the direction of the Holy Spirit in obedience. And that will release the anointing, but he gets the glory. But you get, well done, good and faithful servant, but he ultimately gets the glory for what he's doing. And because of the work he's doing and your response, he gets the glory. So we need to respond and not react to his action or acting upon or allowing those actions to impact us. And Jesus will be glorified both in you and through you, because he's forming you for service. That is the whole objective. That is the whole motivation behind those things that we struggle with. It's not punishment. It's not because God is displeased with you or you're falling out of favor with him. Mm-mm, not at all. He's forming the character of Christ in you and I. And I have found, and I can back it up by the scripture, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to forming the character of Christ in our life. It takes work, things that are applied to us, and it takes the proper response, which I will liken to releasing the new wine from your life or in your life, and the anointing that goes with what God has called you to do. Number three. So, Father, first, releases the new wine in relationship. Secondly, he initiates action. And number three, he determines your future. From verse 9, it says, I will bring forth offspring, seed or descendants. So, God wants us to see the bigger picture and not be so focused on the actions or what God is doing, but he's concerned about your children and your children's children. That's your future. Your future doesn't end when you die on this earth. You understand this? Your future continues in those natural children and spiritual children that you sow into, that you sow the things of God and the Word of God into. That is your future or your inheritance, which we'll talk about in a moment. So, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. Why is that? Because he's not finished with you yet. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So, again, that feeds into that what I was saying is that pressure for purity, it produces purity or clarity, or even what you will find is light or brightness. When you find a translation for that word purity or pure in the scriptures, it will often mean some of those things: light, bright, clean. And I have three types of grape juice at home. Concord, the deep purple, I have red, and I have white. Now, they taste similar, but they don't taste the same. If you drink, you can't drink them one after another because the individuality of the one will be obscured. But this is what happens when God wants us to maintain our individuality in the cluster, but when your juice gets on somebody else, or when your juice mixes with somebody else's juice, you can no longer distinguish. It's all for His glory. That release or that new wine that gets mixed together when we interact with a right heart condition. I don't like it when I have a heart condition. Do you? I don't like it when the Holy Spirit reveals that I have a heart condition, because that means now I'm responsible for doing something about it once it's brought into the light. So we haven't yet appeared what we shall be, because we're a work in progress. You understand that principle? God's still working. As long as you have breath, He's still working in your life. So I will bring forth offspring, and then you can really take that verb to the second thing there in verse 9. I will bring forth an heir of my mountains from Judah, alluding to the city of Jerusalem there. It speaks of restoration, preparation, and establishing the remnant. It speaks of covenant relationship with Christ followers, disciples, the remnant, and offspring. Jeremiah 31, 36, and 37. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I also cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord. So it alludes to the faithfulness of God, and no matter how things look, God's objective is always restoration and reconciliation. He never deviates. That's who He is. We are the ones that have to partner or cooperate with Him for that to come about. But He determines our future. And, you know, there's something in us that always wants to take credit for something. You understand that, what I'm saying? You cannot take credit for any good thing in you. It's God who does the work. He allows the pressure. And literally, He's the one who turns your heart towards Him. You have to cooperate, but He is using those things in the cluster. He's using the pressure, and those things are a setup. You're rebuking those things, and it's a setup. God's allowing it, And you're getting upset and you're trying to say, no, in Jesus' name, I speak against it. Well, you can do that until you're blue in the face. If God's behind it, you are wasting your time. And time is precious. So, Romans 8, 16 and 17 talks about us being children of God, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. You can see all those things right there on the overhead. As I was sitting yesterday, and this, you know how many thousands of songs I have within me? Literally, it's thousands over these 30-something years of knowing the Lord. And so I'm sitting, and I'm always surprised at how the Holy Spirit breaks forth a verse. And this is what I heard. It's an old Bill Gaither song. It's the chorus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because he lives. And I would add, he lives in me. Amen? That kind of song never outgrows its usefulness to your spirit and mine. So we need to live out our future as the Holy Spirit guides us, and then we will be living out John 10:10. It's not up there. The abundant life, life to the fullest that God has made available to us. Number four, the Father provides for your inheritance. I call this the non-retirement plan. You know, usually you worked in the natural, you worked towards retirement, the benefits, the pension, all these things. Well, there's no such thing as retirement in the service of the King. Father provides your inheritance. My chosen ones, verse 9, shall inherit it. What is it? What are we going to inherit? We're going to possess or take possession of what he has promised, what he has prophesied, and what he has provided through the cross and Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation for us. Healing, wholeness, and the abundant life. Isaiah 60, verse 21. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. You see, ultimately, he is glorified. That is the purpose. That's the objective for these things he ordains for us to undergo or go through. But we don't have to go through them alone. Sometimes it feels like that, but that's not true. That's a falsehood. He's always with us. He's always there for us. Just a cry away, a word away. We don't even have to say it out loud. We just have to, in our spirit, say, Jesus, I need you. I'm desperate. So my servants, it says, will dwell, abide, or live there in their inheritance. That's what it's talking about. This is Isaiah 37, 31, and the surviving remnant, my chosen ones, my servants, the ones in covenant relationship. It says, the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Throughout history, God's plan of restoration and redemption for the remnant, it's all there in the scripture. Some would say, in particular, it has particular meaning for the Jews that will be ushered in the last days. But the remnant doesn't just include Jews. It includes those who call upon the name of the Lord. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You understand what that's saying? You have an inheritance available to you. You have a mission to bear fruit for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't get there on your own. Your giftings won't get you there. Your strong will won't get you there. He will get you there. Partnering with him, entering into what he's already spoken and provided and released through the cross. That's how you'll get there. So we need to receive by faith all he has given to us and all that has been reserved for us. Now, you have received some of what you have been given, but none of us have received everything that has been reserved for us. Those things are reserved for a reason, for a future time, for a future purpose in your destiny, in your future. If God released all those things at once, this room would not contain the size of your head. Right? So he does things progressively so that you don't think it's you, so that you learn and acknowledge and confess that through Christ, through the work of Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how it happens. It's done by him, for him. It's manifest in this earthen vessel, this imperfect life. He chooses, I don't know why he does it. He chooses to use us with all our faults and imperfections. It's part of his plan that resurrection power finds a home in me and in you. Not so that we can say, oh, aren't we special? Well, we are. That is true. But it's because of who he is, because we are carriers of his presence and the very resurrection power of Christ is contained, that treasure in this earthen vessel, that very power of the resurrection has been released for you and I. So we need to receive these things, our inheritance, by faith. 1 Peter 1:4. And really, since we have time, I'm going to read verses 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you and for me, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He does good work. He does good work. And we need to thank and praise him for it. And not be meh. Being crybabies when stuff happens. We need to cry out to him instead of crying because of our circumstances. Formed for service. Do you understand this? It's a process. He allows those things. He allows that pressure to produce purity and character. That's what this process is designed to bring about. So, instead of trying to avoid a brother or sister in Christ that you find rubs you the wrong way, you should be asking, what are you doing in this relationship? What are you trying to get at in me? Don't look at the speck in your brother's eye. Look at the log in your own eye. If you're responding to them in that way, the problem is here. Not in them. It's in your response. Pressure to produce purity and character. And number 5, Father gives you the best and his rest. From verse 10. It says there, for my people who seek me, God will provide for those in plugged in to relationship, plugged in to the source of life, who know they can't do it without resurrection power, who know they can't do it on their own, who know they are desperate without him. My God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. There isn't a need he can't fill. There isn't a situation in your life where God can't do something to be glorified. There isn't. You can't give me an illustration or an instance. He gives you the best. He gave his best on the cross. Adam Clark says this. If you were going back to Isaiah 65 here, it says, "And Sharon will be a pasture land for flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place." You know, you cannot look at things in the natural. There's always a spiritual significance to everything that's in your life. So Adam Clark points out that, where is it? Sharon and the Valley of Achor are two of the most fertile parts of Judea, famous for their rich pastures. So, you can either see things as God sees them in your life, you can say, oh, this is a waste place, this is desolation, nothing's going to change, things are always going to be this way, wah, 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 wah. Or you can understand there's a place. There's a place for you. There's a place of richness and provision, of health, hope, security, safety. It's in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Do you believe it? Do you need help to believe it? It's okay to say, I need help to believe it. Increase my faith, Lord. That is a prayer he is going to answer 100% of the time. Don't be afraid to ask for that. He will answer. You may not like how he goes about answering it, but I assure you, he will answer that kind of prayer. James 1:17. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. We need to seek him first. And we need to seek his face, not his hand. Not for what he can do for us, but for who he is. And him alone. He's worthy of all honor and praise. He comes through 100% of the time. His track record is without blemish. It's perfect. No one else can say that. So he will give you his rest. It also says that there in verse 10. It will be a resting place for my people who seek me. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me. How many times has the Lord said to you, come to me, and you won't do it? You try to do it in your own strength. You run and hide. You isolate. You think somehow this time you're going to be able to do it by yourself. I got news for you. You can't. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I know there are some of you sitting before me today that are weary and need that rest. And I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you so that that thing is lifted off of you today, right now. It can change as we submit to the work of the Holy Spirit. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise. You can go to the bank with that. That is a bona fide promise in the Word of God. If we will come, He will give us rest. Take my yoke upon you. You got yokes that don't belong to you, my friends. Get rid of them. Take His yoke, the yoke of Christ, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. So, the Father knows best. He knows your place of rest. And instead of trying to push through on our own, and I am one that does this, I'm not saying I don't. People know that I do. In fact, somebody back there in the back row, I won't say his name, called me a workhorse this week. I just keep going until something breaks. And I got to stop doing it. You got to stop doing it. We got to take a different yoke upon us. It's called the yoke of Christ. And then we won't look like a sourpuss to the people we work with. I'm serious. Have you looked at your face in the mirror lately? It's scary. Got to make you laugh a little, but to get you to understand. We have His joy. We have His peace. We have His provision. So if we're walking around like a sad sack, the problem is right here. We've got a yoke upon us that doesn't belong to us. That's why you get chafed, because it doesn't fit. And you're not fun to be around. Ask your wife or your husband or your children. They will tell you. He is with you all the time. Not sometimes. He is for you. Not once in a while. All the time. And I will close with Romans 8, 28-31. You know, it doesn't matter if you know a particular scripture. You need to be reminded. That's what scripture is there for. For more than one purpose. And we know. Do you know this morning? And we know that God causes all things. Which things? All things in your life to work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. If you're born again, you have a calling and a purpose, His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become Here it is. Like Jesus. Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who or what can be against us? He is forming you for service. And I want to tell you something. Even this message is a message of grace. I had all I could do to finish this. Yesterday, I had every distraction. I had a 3-year-old who needed her papa. And I had a wife who needed a husband. But God came along beside me. I didn't even start writing this until 6 or 7 o'clock last night. We have to do what's important, my friends. We have to do what's within our cluster, or we're giving a false testimony to the world. When will we realize what's important in life? Those we love, those who need us. Don't wait till they're dead. And then say, I should have said this. I should have done that. It's too late then. It's too late to minister the love of Christ once they're gone. You can be as sorry as you want, but it is not going to change things of what you could have and should have done, because Christ in you has enabled you to do whatever it is he's called you to do. You don't have to like it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to do it. I'm sorry, I didn't expect this. But this is really what he wants to say to us this morning. Life is too short to not focus on what's important and what really matters. This nose running isn't because of the anointing. Can we come before him this morning? You know it if you need encouragement. You know if you're carrying something that you shouldn't be carrying. You know if you're weary or if you're not. He's here to meet you. He's always here to meet you. Salvation, healing, wholeness, he is your total provision. It's a package deal. Come on. Let him minister to you. Let him breathe fresh life into you this morning.